Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.
Wide receiver watch day 10. No update. And you shouldn't have expected anything different. Welcome to Snap Judgments. That's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Buckeyes have not yet been back on the practice field for a Bloody Tuesday. They're 5 days away from having to make a game time decision, a questionable decision, an available and unavailable decision for Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith. No surprise, Berm, they're going to use all five of those days.
No, and they should. There's no reason to, there's really no reason to keep asking about it. I mean, we know how this goes here. Ryan Day, the first question he was asked on Tuesday is about injuries. The default answer is, well, we don't talk about injuries here around here specifically. So, and then we proceeded to talk about injuries around here specifically for the next 35 minutes or so. So it's, I understand why people want a look into the process of how injuries are reported, how they're handled in the program, but it's the idea that we're going to get an answer to say, well, Carnell is suffering from this. It's a third degree this, and Jeremiah's back is doing this, or his leg is doing this. Like, we're not going to get that from Ryan Day ever. So it's really incumbent on us and the other people in the media that are here on Wednesday night to observe things and make sure that you see what you see, and then try to best prepare for what the eventual outcome is. And that should be, if there's even an inclination, even one iota, that Ryan Day feels Jeremiah or Carnell Tate playing against Rutgers would impact them negatively for Michigan and beyond, then they should not play. And that's it. So now, that said, we saw Jeremiah on Saturday. He clearly wanted to play. He went out there. He did some stuff. He was on the pitch count. If Ohio State felt in any way that Jeremiah Smith's injury was something that could be or would be a long-term challenge, they would not have let him play on Saturday night.
Sure,
it is not Jeremiah Smith's decision. It's not Ryan Day's decision. It's the medical staff's decision. And they would not have let him play if they felt that it was something that could be a bigger issue by letting him play the 20 snaps he played.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ryan Day has outlined this before, and he did again on Tuesday in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center as we talked to him for a little over half an hour, which is that it is a comprehensive decision. He is involved. The players are involved. The medical staff is involved. We're also in a world where I bet there's a handful of other people who might have an influential say over the right approach moving forward. But Saturday specifically, when it comes to Jeremiah, he was the one that was adamant that he was good to go and wanted to play. And then it becomes a matter of, you know, risk tolerance, pain tolerance.
Right.
No, I mean, risk tolerance if you are Ryan Day. Pain tolerance for Jeremiah Smith, which once he got going, he looked like Jeremiah Smith. I think in between plays, when maybe the adrenaline's wearing off or the game is over and he's, you know, having to ride the exercise bike, then we saw him look, you know, less than alien-like, the way he was moving around. But all that's to say, I 100% understand that this is the dominant discussion point for Ohio State and their ability to win the national championship, that they need the two best wide receivers in America to be the best version of themselves. But, you know, I don't think we need to spend every Tuesday or every Wednesday lightning round belaboring the point with Ryan Day, because we already know what the answer is. And maybe today will be a good reminder. We got that out of everyone's system. Maybe it won't be. I don't know. Maybe people want us to ask and get a no update after practice on Wednesday night. I bet that has a decent chance of actually occurring. But, you know, at least when it comes to me, when we get back in here and we have snap judgments on a Woody Wednesday, like, I'm going to look and see, and I might, you know, ask some people on the side for an update. But in terms of the press conference stuff, I think we almost have to be done with it.
Well, because we get a chance to ask one question or two questions in a public forum a week. And why ask something that we know you're not going to be given a direct answer on? And it's fine. Again, I understand the need for quotes in the newspaper or TV sound clips or for us to talk about it. And I know people want to, you know, there's a lot riding on it for Ohio State fans. If Jeremiah Smith...
I'm not saying don't be interested if you're an Ohio State fan. I understand that why you are and why that's deserved.
Yeah, but to expect anything different from the podium is folly. So,
all right, so we heard a lot about the process and the protocol and not a lot about the actual day-to-day for those guys. Or even, you know, you asked about Julian Sain and plant foot and ankle and all that stuff. Outside of the injury availability report insight, what did you learn about the actual Ohio State team and its preparations or focus to avoid looking ahead to the game?
No, there's one thing I was thinking about on Monday, and I'm glad Ryan Day brought it up today. I was in Columbus on Monday. I stopped into Target And I saw
one
CJ Hicks at the Target. Monday's the day off for Ohio State. I saw CJ, Will Smith was there, a couple of guys. And I was talking to CJ and I said, hey, you know what? What's the mood like? And he said, all we're thinking about is getting to Indianapolis. And I was like, huh, that's interesting, because I started to think no one on this team has won a Big Ten championship. And
or played for
one. You know, Ryan Day and the leaders of this team back in February and March were saying, this team hasn't won anything. And I think there is like a little bit of a risk when you start talking like, oh, this team hasn't accomplished anything. They have. All these guys on this team, aside from the freshmen, are now national champions. You can't take that away from them for life. But the scars that they had are more important than the win or the championship ring that they're going to wear for this year's team. And so understanding that all these guys realize that they have fallen short of every other goal they've set in the last 4 years. Every other one has fallen short except for winning a national championship last year, which obviously is a big one.
Yeah.
So, like, that does motivate these guys in a way. And CJ was saying, hey, you know, everyone knows it. It's all the seniors are talking about. So for Ryan Day today to bring up that point, that this is not about anything other than getting to Indianapolis. And so that's why this team has to focus on Rutgers. That's why these players have to have the right look in their eyes when they come into the building on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like, it is a reminder of how much the Buckeyes are buried in the minutia, because the minutia is what gets you your goals. And so I thought it was just interesting. And again, we talked about this on Saturday or last Wednesday night, I'm sorry, with Edric Houston, when he starts talking about saying the exact same things Ryan Day is saying.
Yeah.
It was interesting for me in this instance to get the information reversed, because clearly that message about Indianapolis was delivered on Sunday at practice or Monday morning, because CJ Hicks repeating it at Target while we were talking entirely casually was interesting.
What's also entirely possible that that message is coming from the players up to Ryan Day.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And I didn't register in my brain to ask about it that way. But as you said, if everyone is of this mindset that the veterans that have been in this program for multiple years that haven't even got to Indianapolis, let alone won in Indianapolis, that's something that they want to accomplish, that's missing from their resume. Of course, you look at the standings, something else is going to be required to get there, and that's a set of gold pants that turn into a key to get to Lucas Oil Stadium. But you can't – that game would lose some of the luster and some of the importance if you don't handle Rutgers on Saturday. Yep. And I don't say that to just, you know, pay lip service in deference to the Scarlet Knights or to repeat a coaching cliche about every game at a time. But the way Ohio State is handling its practice routine – I think that's going to carry over into next week, to be honest with you, with the way Ohio State moved up, you know, the band practice, the best damn band in the land coming in here and having an opportunity to be around the players, doing that during the off week, is to ensure that, like, next week can be just like this week is for Rutgers. And I bet that will even extend, if I had to wager, into, like, Wednesday practices and media availability, which is a break from the norm for Ohio State. Like, all that stuff has become really important to them. And, you know, it would feel unusual if they weren't doing that. So they don't want to break from that. I think that's pretty neat, the way that has evolved over time.
Well, I think the fascinating thing for me is, like, hearing Ryan Day. He was asked about a quote from Brandon Innes on Saturday night where Brandon said that Ryan Day had a different look in his eye since the Michigan game a year ago. And Ryan Day spends so much time and has spent so much time in the last few weeks talking about how this is an unselfish team and how they wouldn't promote players for awards if they felt like there was any bit of selfishness creeping into the mentality of guys. And so Ryan Day being asked specifically about him and about his changes and what he's done, he seemed extremely uncomfortable talking about himself.
He said, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like,
I don't remember ever hearing him, maybe it's happened, ever answer any question with, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it seemed like he was very uncomfortable with even the notion of being asked, like, what are you doing different? Because the routine is what matters around here. The day-to-day, the grind, the making sure that these players know exactly what's going to happen. Ryan Day saying, I'm trying to forecast for them what's going to happen next week, what we're going to do. Like, his job has evolved so much since he started here as the head coach that I don't know if he knows what he does differently. And we've said it a million times in the last year how differently he's carried himself, but I don't think that he's allowing himself to be different around his players. And then he finished up that saying that there's a lark, everyone's bought in. And that probably happened subconsciously for players, knowing that he just hoisted a national championship trophy a year ago. And so you can see that they trust him more. They trust that, okay, his process will get us to where we want to go. But at the same time, like the minute you start talking about the process and the routine, and then you say to yourself, well, now we have to change it for this or that, like then you send a pretty confusing mixed message. And Ryan Day is like really dialed in on not doing that. So it's clear it falls down to the players, but it also goes from the players up. So that's how you know you're in a really special program.
It does come back as well to something that Ryan Day was actually talking about with the injuries, which is the level of communication in here. And I think if I'm looking from the outside and observing, you know, Brandon Ennis, I think, is talking about the team meeting that the well-documented a couple days after Michigan and the way that the team regrouped and Ryan Day being open to the feedback that was coming from the players and vice versa. And that maybe in a way when he was, I hearken it back to the way he would be hyper-focused on, oh, it's Tuesday. All I care about is trying to find a way to get a third down.
Yeah.
Like that is not a big picture perspective. That is not a head coaching perspective. It's got to be one piece of it. But he was so wrapped up in offensive play calling and being the call sheet that some of the other stuff, and like, I'm not calling it a distraction. He was always a very good head coach with a very good relationships with his players. But whether that is somebody talking about injury, whether that is dealing with the strength staff, dealing with nutritionists, anybody else, like I think he has found himself managing all of that better. And I think you're seeing that as when we talk about load management and rep management and number of snaps over the course of the year for a team on defense and how the pace of play that they're going to play. I don't think any of that was really possible for him when he was trying to do one thing to the best of his ability and some of the other stuff would slip through the cracks.
No, but it's a fair point, though. I mean, this program is running at a level, even today, again, I don't like to do too much inside baseball. When we walk in the door here today on Tuesday morning, we all walk into the team room around 11 o'clock and then we sit there for an hour and then, you know, we spend some time in the hallways and walking around the hallway and then, like, I watch Tim Walton, I watch Miguel Patrick, I watch three other assistant coaches go into the recruiting and scouting room and start to talk to, there is a lot of two-way traffic happening everywhere around here, and that's the medical, as you said, that's the nutritionist, it's Ryan Day saying that the medical staff every day is telling them, okay, this player can't go, this player can, this player, like, there is way more data and information being flown around here and talked about here than it is just like, well, what do you do on third and six? Like, there is so much happening in the world of college football right now, and Ryan Day is handling it expertly. But some of that is just the ability to exhale and say, I'm not worried about losing my job tomorrow. You know, because I when you start to talk about the difference in Ryan Day, I think just that sort of weight off the shoulders probably makes it a lot easier for him to be himself and not be so hyper-focused on the one little thing and be able to take a step back and look at the big picture. Now, that said, you go up to Ann Arbor and lose next week, people are gonna freak out. But that's why you have to focus on this week first.
Yeah, and by the way, they play Rutgers on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think they came up on two separate occasions.
Yeah. I want to know what Ryan Day's feeling about, you know, the last time Greg Schiano was in here and they almost came to blows on the sideline. One of the most fun moments in Ohio State football in the last 5 years.
I know how fun it was for Greg Schiano and Ryan Day.
Super fun to watch from the sideline.
Though. Yeah. Yeah. Should do an oral history of that fake punt and everything that ensued after that. I think that'll be a fun thing to bring up on Wednesday evening.
Yeah,
I think Ryan Day would appreciate that. A reprieve from injuries to talk about the time that he almost fought a defensive coordinator that he used
mentor,
to work with.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty neat. We'll get to all that. But before we get into snap judgments on Wednesday night in the Woody, we will have the beat. And that will be a stock watch because there was yet another blowout with a bunch of young guys getting involved for Ohio State. So we'll shine a spotlight on some of those standouts for the Buckeyes when we get to that. Yeah. Sorry, there wasn't a lot of X's and O's in the snap judgments, and there wasn't a lot of actually injury news to present to you. Maybe we'll do better tomorrow. We're going to try our best. He's Berm. I'm Austin. Thanks for joining us.
Miami, July 5th and July 31st. Ice Cube's Big 3 is back at the Amerant Bank Arena. Featuring big stars like Dwight Howard, Joe Johnson, Lance Stephenson, and more. And featuring your home team, the Miami 305, led by Michael Beasley. Grab your tickets now at big3.com/tickets or Ticketmaster. Presented by iHeart.